It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, happy Wednesday, everybody. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're hanging out with you until noon. Salute to you if you're listening on ESPN 1320 AM. Maybe you're listening on the free Odyssey app. Maybe you're on YouTube or Twitch at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We appreciate all of y'all for hanging out with us today on this Wednesday, October 23rd, one day shy of the Sacramento Kings season opener. Cannot wait. Before we get to basketball, we got a lot of basketball to get to today. The NFL trade deadline is close enough that we got to talk about it. The Chiefs traded for DeAndre Hopkins today, sent a fourth round pick to the Texans for the veteran wide receiver. We'll get into what that means potentially for the 49ers.
James' fantasy team?
Nope. We're not going to do that. That's Fantasy Fridays. Mark Jones, TV voice of the Sacramento Kings and TV voice of, like, turn on your TV, turn on a sports thing. Mark Jones probably on the broadcast.
Very true.
It's insane. He's going to join us at 11 o'clock, and we'll get into a little Kings preview with him, and we'll revisit Mad Props. So a ton to get to today, but before we get into any of that, I bought an electric vehicle recently. I'm not going to say what kind of electric vehicle it was, but I will take the time to let everybody know you can call the Elk Grove Kia talk line at 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. I love my electric car very much. I love that we have charging stations here in our office parking lot. I can charge at home. We got the solar and stuff. I am just like, I am green as hell, bro. I am single-handedly trying to cool down September again.
That's right.
I'm doing my best.
Make September manageable again.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm doing my part. I have turned into a jerk on the road in my electric vehicle. I've never been this way before. But here's why. It's not like I drive poorly, right? I love that the EVs, because it's just all torque in the EV. That thing gets going when you want to put the gas
down. It's like driving a golf cart. You push the gas pedal and boom,
you're gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Which is great. It's so much fun. But I'm a good driver because I've been in accidents before. Not my favorite thing. So I'm trying to avoid that. Plus, I drive a lot. And I don't want to have to make that phone call to my wife like, yeah, hey, got in an accident. Like, that's terrible. I don't want to do that to her. So I'm very responsible on the road. But I realized today, just today, that I am the, like, you know, people make fun, definitely used to make fun of, like, hybrid car drivers. And they were, like, snooty, right? I'm the snooty guy now. Because I got the clean air vehicle stickers for my car, which means I, as a solo driver, am allowed to use the carpool lane.
Yep.
Which is phenomenal when you have the commute. I now, like, get so upset at people who aren't supposed to be in the carpool lane who are in the carpool lane. I don't care. I shouldn't care. I'm not a cop. Do your thing. You are living your life. that is your prerogative. Do that. Like, I am not going to snitch. I'm not going to call the police and be like, hey, this person in the Corolla is driving in the... Like, no, it's not that. It's not that level. But I am seething. When I'm driving behind a person and they're doing 65 in the carpool lane.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I'm trying to, like, we're on I-5, dog. We can do 70. It's all good. Like, through Elk Grove over there. I get so angry at people who shouldn't be in the carpool lane, who are in the carpool lane. And then, like, when the carpool lane slows down as you're on 5 and you start to go through downtown, mm-hmm. and the carpool lane merges down to not a carpool lane, and it slows down a lot. And I'm like, this is stupid because there's so many people in this lane right now who shouldn't be in this lane. I can see you. I saw you merge. There's no one else in your car.
You're bitter, Kyle.
This is a thing that shouldn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I shouldn't give a rip about this. I used to not even notice. When I was a plebe, when I was a normal, no, when I drove my Honda Civic, I never, because I don't want that $450 ticket or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I would not drive solo in the carpool lane during carpool hours. I just didn't want that smoke. So I'd sit on the left, one lane shy of the carpool lane, and I'd sit in the traffic with everybody else, right?
Mm.
Like, just do that. Convenience me. Like, I never used to notice. I never used to see a person pass by with one and I'd be like, oh, wow, that person's driving in the carpool lane. We shouldn't. Used to not care. Now I care so much and I hate it about myself. Okay. A lot of things I don't like about me, this went right to the top of the list.
Okay,
Oof.
I've always been an extremely aggressive driver. I don't like driving. Mm-hmm. So when I get in a car, I want to go from point A to point B as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I drive fast and I drive aggressive. I thought that when I, too, purchased an electric vehicle, that I would tone it, that it would make me a better driver.
Sure.
No. It has not made me a better driver. It's made me a worse driver, and now I'm even more aggressive and even more of a handful on the road. Like, I'm a safe driver,
sure.
but I'm aggressive, and, like, I don't have hesitation, and I go.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so it's a little rough out there. Like, yeah. You've driven with me. I don't mess around.
No. Just don't drive solo in the carpool lane when you're not supposed to.
That's right.
And everything will be cool. Or here's the other thing. Don't tailgate me when you're not supposed to be in the carpool lane. I'm doing 75. I'm already breaking the law.
That's right.
I'm already doing that. Don't tailgate me. You're not supposed to be here.
This is not your lane.
We're going to go at my pace if you're going to be doing this illegally. When I can safely get over and not be behind a wall of cars, I will do so that person can pass me.
Yeah.
But like, dog, you see me passing people. Do not get on my bumper.
Yeah.
This is dangerous. You're not even supposed to be here. I'll slow down, dude. I'll get on some car's quarter panel so that person can't pass and can't get over.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm the worst.
I can be that guy.
Anyways. Let's talk about basketball.
I love it, Kyle.
The NBA season tipped off last night. Okay, we got the Bronny James thing out of the way. We did it.
Okay.
They were on the court together. LeBron passed to him. He shot a three. He missed. They set a couple screens for each other. They got their photo op with the Griffies. Can we be done now?
I hope so.
I need it to be over.
Yeah.
The moment happened. We got it. I need Bronny James to now go do whatever he's going to do to develop as a basketball player.
I agree.
The storyline is done now. The entire storyline from when he went to USC was, oh man, is LeBron going to stay in the league long enough? And then he has his health problems, and that was insane, and super happy he's okay and playing basketball again and in the NBA. That's really cool. Really cool that the Lakers drafted him. Okay, yeah, that was the story of the whole draft. Are the Lakers going to draft Bronny? They did. Okay, amazing. They played in a preseason game together. Wow, amazing. Now they've gotten on the court together in a regular season game. We've seen it. That was the moment everybody was waiting for. That was the thing everybody's been wondering since Bronny James was in high school if they'd be able to pull off. They pulled it off. It's over now. It's done. I never want to hear about it ever again.
Yeah, unless he decides to become like a bona fide ball player.
Yes.
And he develops and mm-hmm. he becomes like, you know, like a a moderate role player, whatever it might be.
Which is a different thing.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not what we're seeing here.
No.
That's not what we saw last night.
No.
I didn't think LeBron looked particularly good either. I was surprised. I mean, Anthony Davis looked like a man possessed.
It was ridiculous.
Just like
night.
He was so spectacular. Yeah. The blocks at the rim, just incredible. He's such a good defensive player. I really wish that we didn't have like this notion of him that he's like Mr. Glass,
mm-hmm.
and you know that he can't. I wish he could stay healthy all the time because mm-hmm. really watching him play, he is so incredibly gifted.
Yeah.
Except for when he plays Domantas Sabonis and he goes, oh,
yeah, he gets stuffed
11.
In a locker.
Yeah,
it's incredible. Yeah. I have such a weird. I think Anthony Davis is the best player. Like my opinion of him as a player
mm-hmm.
is way off. From what he actually is as a player.
Yes.
In my mind, when I see that Anthony Davis is in the top 75, I'm like, what? That's ridiculous. But then you see when he is good, when he, that game last night, there was what, like a 20 minute stretch where it was just like Anthony Davis is the best player on the court, bar none, and might be the best player in the league.
Yeah, not even close. Like there was moments in that game where he was so far superior to everyone else on the court.
Just insane.
Yeah.
And you see that and you go, wow, okay, I get it. I get why people are obsessed with Anthony Davis.
Yep.
But man, I can't get out of the back of my mind every time he falls down that his season might be over.
Yeah.
And all the times that I've seen him go into a game against Domantas Sabonis and just not show up. Or how many times in the Lakers-Warriors playoff series a couple years ago, he ended up getting it together by the end of their playoff run there. But during that playoff run for the Lakers, it was like he'd have one really good game and then one game where he just wasn't there.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, you can't just not show up and be that dude. But when he does show up, he is amazing.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable last night.
Yeah, I enjoy watching him play. When he's on and he's playing to his potential, yeah, one of the best players in the league.
Anthony Davis will not turn into a pumpkin against Domas tomorrow because the Lakers do not play the Kings tomorrow.
No, they do next week, though, I think.
Next week?
Yeah, I believe.
In which case, Anthony Davis will indeed, to Sivi's point, turn into a pumpkin.
Yeah, it might even be this weekend.
Is it 0-11?
0-10, 0-11, something like that.
Man. Yeah, 36 points, 16 boards, 4 assists, a steal, and 3 blocks.
Yeah.
And the incredible thing about Anthony Davis's blocks is it's not just, I feel like his, when he's on defensively, it's not, oh, he's just tall and standing at the rim and putting a hand up. He's like chasing down players who beat their man on the opposite side of the court. He's doing chase down blocks on guards that break him down. He's timing weak side block. Like he's just, he's an incredible player.
Yeah.
And he showed why last night.
Yeah, the block on Gobert was just nuts.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Rudy Gobert's 7'2". Anthony Davis is getting up and sending him away.
Yeah.
Unreal player. And that's why, like, that's where when I say I'm out on the Lakers, and there are people who go, oh, well, I'm not quite out on the Lakers. It's like, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting that Anthony Davis, game in and game out,
yeah, I mean,
it's going to be a good team.
It's what we saw in the Olympics. I mean, if the tandem, if that pairing is, like, they're just tough to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I still, like, would caution people. They're still, like, a 8, 9, 10, 11 team in the Western Conference. So.
Yeah, and that's why we got into the conversation yesterday about Christmas, like, call me on Christmas.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's like, this is kind of why. Is this the Lakers? Are the Lakers just going to get this from Anthony Davis? And I thought J.J. Redick coached a hell of a game last night. It looked like the Lakers had a much more, I don't know how good they are. I don't know if they have enough like dudes
mm-hmm.
to be really, really impactful. But they looked like they were running an offense that wasn't just LeBron does everything.
Yeah, I thought that. And I think, you know, stark contrast to what the Kings are doing and even what Minnesota did, they don't crash the offensive glass at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody's running back, like every single possession. And so they were leaving a lot there on the table, it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that they don't get into sort of the offensive rebounding game like the Kings are because they do have some players. And they ended up with 15 offensive rebounds still.
Yeah.
That's a big number, but they weren't, like, it wasn't an intentional thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I still don't have a lot of faith in that team. And I have less faith in Minnesota's ability to win early in the season after watching them last night.
Yeah, dude, I was concerned. We talked about it yesterday. I was concerned about the Timberwolves and the Randle fit just in general. It looked so clunky last night.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not Anthony Edwards, I just don't trust anyone on that team. Like, who in their starting lineup legitimately scares you?
Well,
Julius Randle?
Yeah, I mean, not really. No, the only one that scares me is Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, and then Naz Reid off the bench. Naz Reid, awesome player.
Yeah, you got to defend him. And I thought DiVincenzo, like, he looks like he's settling into a role there where he's going to hoist every single time he touches it.
But they need him to be like a distributor and be kind of a point guard. But he shot it 11 times in 32 minutes. He shot 8 threes. He only went 2 of 8. Like, if this is going to work, they're going to need Dante DiVincenzo to hit 39-40% of his threes again, like he has the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. They're going to need Nikhil Alexander-Walker to be 38-39-40% from three again on good volume.
Yep.
And at some point, I think you're going to need to see those guys on the court with Anthony Edwards, with Julius Randle, and try and create some kind of spacing, because it just doesn't... I don't know what their plan is there. I think it's going to take a while to iron out, and even the best version of it, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's one game. I'm not trying to make, but a lot of my priors, and I think yours, mm-hmm. were confirmed last night.
Well, yeah, and Minnesota. I also think that one of the problems is that when you make a change so late, mm-hmm. in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had all this time. I mean, DeMar DeRozan's been a Sacramento King since, like, the 6th of July.
Yeah, he's been working with Domantas Sabonis all summer.
So he had all of July, he had all of August, he had all of September to get ready for training camp.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not what they did here. They made this move right at the last minute, which was very strange to me. So anyway, I think that this team can roll into Sacramento and look different tomorrow, and... They, you know, again, the Kings haven't put it together either early. Mm-hmm. And so it might be a battle of two teams that are still, you know, sort of trying to piece what their identity is.
Yeah.
But I still have a little bit more faith in what I've seen from Sacramento, because I do know, you know, the Gobert-Sabonis matchup is always spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Gobert scores against Sabonis all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But Domas usually puts up a triple-double and has a ton of rebounds. I think it's going to be a really, really good matchup.
But if we can talk about this more tomorrow, but if Rudy Gobert is your source of offense, all right, you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, run your offense through Rudy Gobert instead of Anthony Edwards. Go for it.
I'm intrigued, too, because I think what the Kings are going to do, they're probably going to put Keegan Murray on Anthony Edwards, like, early on.
So.
And say, go ahead and, you know, this mm-hmm. is... This is the best we got. That's the mm-hmm. best you got. Like, one on the offensive end, one on the defensive end. Let's see how you handle it. I didn't think that Anthony Edwards looked particularly good, and I thought, like, just the way he has to play.
Yeah, dude.
Because of, like, sort of their lack of offensive pieces, is every time he touches the ball, you're like, oh, he's chucking.
Yes.
And he's not even really trying to get in a good spot. He's not working with his teammates to get to an open spot. It really feels like so much, not just one-on-one, but so much just like drifting on the perimeter. And
mm-hmm.
like, I wasn't super impressed. I think he's going to take a little while to, like, the numbers will be there, but his shooting percentages won't early on. And, you know, he's going to drift a little bit here as he tries to find his way without a secondary big-time score.
No, I think you look at their shot distribution last night. Anthony Edwards at 25 field goal attempts for Anthony Edwards. It felt like 40.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Dante DiVincenzo with 11, and you had Julius Randle with 10. Nobody else had more than 8.
Wow.
That's just not... But again, it's... Jaden McDaniels, nice player, is developing, mm-hmm. really good defender, but what is he ever... Is he ever going to be a consistent go-to scorer?
No.
Now, certainly not this year. Maybe eventually down the line, but this year, you can't rely on him for that. Rudy Gobert, not an offensive player. Mike Conley?
He was at one point, but even that, he wasn't elite.
Yeah, he is a settle everything down, we need to get into our offense distributor at this point. 1 for 7 and 0 for 5 from 3 last night. 1 for 7 from the field, 0 for 5 from 3 from Mike Conley. And then Naz Reid, okay, that's your 6 minute. Joe Ingles had to play 7 minutes last night.
Yeah,
I'm with you, man. I just don't know. I don't know where their offense is really going to come from.
Yeah, it's interesting.
We'll see.
Jaden McDaniels got in foul trouble, and for me, like, he is an elite defender.
Yes,
and that's great. But I think a lot of people look at him, like his length, his athleticism, his build, and all that, as sort of a Mikal Bridges. But Mikal Bridges has had seasons where he averaged, you know, a ton of points.
You see his jump shot?
Yeah. Oh no. Someone messed with his jump. What happened there?
I have no idea.
Like, I don't know what
it's
happened.
It's all
there.
Like...
Yeah, no.
What in...
A little Rasheed Wallace.
Rashard Lewis?
Yeah, Rashard Lewis.
Super high release, like it's...
Rasheed Wallace.
I don't love it.
No, something weird happened there.
Yeah,
we'll get to that game in a second. If you're counting on McDaniels to be your third or fourth scorer, that's not good. And if you're starting a... If you have a starting lineup where... You have other offensive deficiencies. It's gonna be a little tough.
Yeah, at some point somebody's gonna have to play off the ball, and I don't know that that's Julius Randle's bag. Julius Randle's a downgrade from Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, he is.
Like in almost every conceivable way.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
It just doesn't. It's a weird fit. And again, there's so much. There are 81 games left. Maybe they figure it out. If they do figure it out, I think it's going to take a while because I just don't think any of this fits. But did you hear J.J. Redick complaining about the basketballs after the game?
Yeah, it was a little bit.
You know what? I was out. I'm in on J.J. Redick, dude. Here's J.J. Redick after the game talking about the basketballs.
I'm going to send in a request for the league tomorrow that we can play with worn-in basketballs. I'm not sure why we're playing in real games. I'm being dead serious. I'm not sure why we're playing in real games with brand-new basketballs. Anybody who's ever touched an NBA ball brand new, it's a different feel and touch than a worn-in basketball. I didn't realize it till a timeout. There was a long rebound. I grabbed it. I was like, what? Why are we playing with this ball? Give the guys the opportunity to pick a good basketball. You think I'm joking?
No, I'm positive.
I'm neurotic.
I'm positive you're not joking.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love this.
Okay. So the home team provides the balls, and he works for the Lakers. So, like, they provided the basketballs for the game. And then they get to choose. There's, like, two or three. And then they have extras in case a ball flies into the stands and gets covered in beer. They have a ball for that. So, but then again, you switch out and whoever... Somebody has to, like, say, okay, this is a ball we're choosing, right? For them not to, like, go through that process before the game, maybe they were distracted or something because it's opening night.
It's opening night, and you had the whole Bronny LeBron photo op to get to.
Yes. And we're all distracted by the photo op.
Yeah, because you see, like go to an NBA game early. If you're going to the Kings game tomorrow, go get to Golden One Center early. Watch warm-ups. And eventually you'll see, like, De'Aaron Fox go over, Sabonis go over, and they pick a basketball. Like, they feel the basketball, and they pound it on the floor and pause. And that's like a process that players go through.
Yeah. There are official game balls that they have that, you know, very specific. You know, there's a lot of things. Like, I've talked about this before, but, like, people don't understand. The whistle has a microchip in it and is attached to the clock. So as soon as they blow the whistle, the clock stops. And they test all that out in pregame, and, like, you can see them in the stands. They'll just keep blowing the whistle, and it'll stop the clock. Like, there's a lot of, like, little things to a basketball game that you don't know, but one of them is, like, very specifically, the ball is, you know, there's a selection that they can go through, and, like, so somebody didn't do it. I don't know. It makes no sense, because if you've ever seen a brand new, an NBA ball in a package, remember, I worked sporting goods forever. Like, $89 for an NBA basketball. It's leather and it's slick.
It is so slippery.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I get it. I don't hate that he pointed this out, and he was the crux of what he was saying was I liked what, you know, they had 72 pain points last night. And so he was basically saying, I don't mind that we didn't shoot as many threes as I would like because we were dominating in the paint, but also we had some good looks that we missed because of the basketballs. And I don't hate it. I love that there's a coach with that much attention to detail. Good for him. I think J.J. Redick's going to be a good coach.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm in on the Lakers or I'm in on J.J. Redick.
We'll see. I'm not 100% sold. I know he's going to be really good with the media because he was really good when he was in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
what?
Just, yeah. For me, it's like that team, as long as they put the right coaches around him, and I know they did. They worked hard to get coaches to put around him. But I don't know.
The Celtics also beat the Knicks last night, 132-109. We said on the show yesterday, is Boston going to push 70 wins?
Mm.
I kind of think they might, dude.
Yeah, they stomped the Knicks.
It was never close.
No, I mean, 29 made threes. It was just like...
29 of 61!
They just lit them up. And it was... I think they tried to go for the record. I think it was like 29 of 52.
Yeah, and then they missed a bunch.
They missed a bunch at the end of the game trying to get the NBA record. Yeah, Jason Tatum came out and said, whatever happened this summer in the Olympics and whatever happened with me not getting the MVP, whatever, now I'm going to go and be a problem.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, he's going to be a problem for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's their entire team. Like, they're just really freaking good. And they have
position.
A chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
It's quality.
I don't think they're going to make 29 threes every game. I'm ready to say that. But I also think that that's the approach they're going to have every single night. Mm-hmm. Is they're going to want to beat down every single team they play. I don't think that was just because it was ring night. I don't think it was just because it was the Knicks. I also saw a bunch of people complaining about their offense. Is this what basketball's become? They're out there chucking threes. They shot 50, 47, 87 for the game as a team. If you can do that, do that.
Yeah, whatever you're doing, you did it right.
Yeah, the complaint I saw was basically it was just them passing it around the three-point line. It's like, yeah, because 3 points is worth more than two, and they were making them at a 47.5% clip.
Oof.
And shot 50.5% as a team. That's good offense.
It's good offense, and the shots they missed late were...
That was stupid.
But, I mean, again, it's none of your starters. It's just dudes.
It's Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser and whoever else is out there at that point.
Yeah.
Did Nemias Keita get a shot up last night?
Nemias Keita did play, did not get a shot up.
Oh, boo.
Jordan Walsh did get a three. Xavier Tillman got up three threes and missed all three. Sam Hauser, 2 of 7. 1 of 9 for Peyton Pritchard. I think Peyton Pritchard's like, I'm getting that record. And then just kept breaking.
So the Celtics were 29 of 61 from three. Their bench was 3 of 20, which means their starters went 26 of 41 from three, which is 63.4%.
Holy smokes.
8 of 11 for Tatum, 3 of 5 for Horford, 4 of 6 for Drew Holiday, 6 of 10 for Derek White, 5 of 9 for Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
They're going to be ridiculous.
After three quarters, they were 26 of 45.
Yes.
So in that fourth quarter, they went 3 of 16. And again, most of that was, Peyton Pritchard went 0 for 5 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, they were trying to get to 30. They were just chucking at the end of the game to try and get to 30. I got the clock, by the way. I think at some point during this year, we're going to finally recognize, and I say we, just kind of the royal we, mm-hmm. that I think we're watching a historically great team.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't feel like it, but I think that's kind of how this is eventually going to go down, where they're going to go on a run where they win a couple of titles, and they have a bunch of 60-plus win seasons in there. And by the time whatever this version of the Celtics is done, mm-hmm. we're going to look at it and recognize that they're up there with the Michael Jordan Bulls and the Steph Curry Warriors and all the Tim Duncan Spurs.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where this is headed.
No, I think so, too. I think I wouldn't be surprised if we see him win something like 3 out of 4 or 3 out of 5.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm with you. Like, injuries, of course, could play a factor. It's really hard to win a title. You know, we don't know what the league is going to look like over the next year or two or three. You know, players could be traded and teams could, teams could improve or whatever. But, man, it's hard to see Boston losing a lot of games this year and anytime in the near future.
No, I totally agree.
It looked awesome last night. All right, we've got trade movement in the NFL. DeAndre Hopkins is heading to the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll discuss that. Do the 49ers and Raiders need to follow suit in making moves? Plus, coming up at 11 o'clock, Mark Jones joins us to preview the Sacramento Kings season. Plus, it looks like the Kings are doing some weird stuff at their starting lineup, or what I think is weird. We'll talk about that as well coming up. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Lots to get into before noon. We're The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
A little loud. Sorry, everybody. He's James. I'm Kyle. Salute to Jiffy Lube. Want to remind everybody that Socktober is here, and people need socks. We're working with the Gathering Inn, which is a terrific organization here in the Sacramento area that is collecting and distributing socks to the unhoused. People need those socks. All the time, but especially this time of year when the temperatures, we know how hot it gets in Sacramento in the summer. It can also get very cold, especially at night in the winter. And those socks can be a life changer for somebody. You can bring them to 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 here in Roseville. That's 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 here in Roseville. You bring your socks. Unwrapped, like in the package, new socks. We have a blue bin here. You can drop them in. You stick around during a break, James, and I will come out and say what's up and tell you how much we appreciate your donation. If you can't bring them to Roseville, hit me up or hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, and we can arrange to have you ship them, which I have had a couple people already reach out to do. So salute to those people for helping us out. During Socktober.
There
Hell
you go.
Yeah. All right. The Chiefs traded for DeAndre Hopkins. They sent a fourth-round pick to the Tennessee Titans for the 32-year-old who had 1,000 yards last season. He has not had a great year this year. He's playing with a torn MCL. He's also playing with Will Levis.
He's also playing with a bad quarterback.
Which, like, yikes.
Yeah, how do you handicap that one?
We talked about this on Candlestick Chronicles, the 49ers podcast I host with the Sacramento Bee's Chris Biederman. And the fact that DeAndre Hopkins is going for a fourth-round pick means I believe the 49ers should be out on wide receiver trade market stuff.
Yeah, that's tough.
Okay, a fourth is a lot.
Well, they're saying it's a fifth that can get to a fourth round.
Oh, okay.
So that makes sense to me. Yeah, they get a fifth round pick that elevates to a fourth round pick if Kansas City makes the Super Bowl and Hopkins plays 60% of the snaps.
Okay. Tennessee. I feel really good about Kansas City going to the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. Especially with DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, he's still a great wide receiver. You look at him, his stats, like, he matches up historically against...
Historically.
Yeah.
Really good player.
Yeah, he's one of the top, I think, top 15 receivers all time in yards.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, this is a hell of a addition to a team that desperately needed another wide receiver, especially after the Rashi Rice injury.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see how he looks, because I always thought his game was going to age really well because he's so good at using his body and gaining leverage on defenders and then making contested catches.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is so good at catching the ball away from his body that I think his game is going to age really well. But as a 32-year-old NFL player with a torn MCL, I don't know how well that's going to go. Like, that's where my question is. And that would be that. That's why, like I said, with San Francisco specifically, it's like, okay, DeAndre Hopkins is a big name, but how much does he move the needle for you when you've got Deebo Samuel, you've got Juwan Jennings,
mm-hmm.
used a first round pick on Ricky Pearsall, used a fourth round pick on Jacob Cowing.
I still think they can find a player in that range. Like, I don't know if you're going to be able to, in Hopkins' range.
I guess.
I don't know.
You're going to have Christian McCaffrey coming back. And DeAndre Hopkins, let me rephrase that. DeAndre Hopkins is a better player than Juwan Jennings or any of the other receivers I mentioned.
Yeah.
Totally clear.
He's a better pass catcher than Deebo Samuel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 1,000%. But on the other hand, I don't know that, like, when you look at the extensive list of things wrong with the 49ers right now, I don't think if you're going into a game with Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey's supposed to be back right after the bye week, according to Kyle Shanahan. Can Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing contribute a little bit? Like, I don't know that you need a receiver of that caliber. If the Patriots want to send Kendrick Bourne for a late round pick,
yeah.
Okay. That's a depth piece. Like, he may play over Pearsall, he may not. It's just kind of insurance at the receiver position.
Mm-hmm.
But man, if you're using a mid round pick like that, they have defensive end problems they need to address.
Yeah.
They have linebacker problems they need to address. I think they probably have a safety problem they're gonna need to address. If they can go get an offensive lineman, that I think would play. They have so many. I know the Brandon Ayuk injury makes this seem like this, like, red alert. All the red flags are up. They need to go get a wide receiver now.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to use your high end draft capital, a day one or two or early day three pick, I'd so much rather that go to one of those other places than to Christian Kirk, you know.
Well, because we know how much you love Christian Kirk.
On Christian Kirk.
My
favorite player in the NFL.
Okay, so a couple of things. Number one, DeAndre Hopkins right now sits at 23rd all-time in passing yards. He can easily get into the top 20. Steve Largent at 13,089 yards, maybe 500 yards ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
He could get up to, like, number 19, 18, right around there by the end of this season. And if he plays another season, he easily could be top 10. So that, for me, like, look, the Niners have had guys in their system here for a couple of years. Like, mm-hmm. was it Chris Connolly, right?
Yeah.
Like, Chris Connolly is not a horrible wide receiver. He can actually play the game. He's just not elite.
He's not good. Not a good player.
Well,
he's fine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you need him to go out there and be your number one, number two, then you're in trouble and your season's lost anyways.
Yeah.
So if I'm the 49ers, I would at least, like, go out there and look for a wide receiver. I don't know, you know, again, if, you know, I don't know who else would be available. But if the Raiders are going to open up and sell off, like, Jacoby Myers.
Sure.
Like, all right, I'm down. But what you need to make sure you're doing is you're getting a player who might be under contract for, like, 2 years, and that one of those years is reasonable, and you're mm-hmm. not taking on a whole bunch more money for next year. And, you know, so you're tightrope walking. And for me, like, if the Niners do decide to use, like, a third-round pick on a defensive lineman, I would hope that they do that as opposed to a wide receiver. And I've always been fine if they want to give up a third, a fourth round pick, that's fine for me, because I honestly think they're really poor drafting in that area of the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather know what I'm getting than speculate on a value pick like that, a pick with a ton of value,
mm-hmm.
and swing and miss with the high value pick when you might be able to get a veteran who's 24, 25, 26, who can help you long term and can fit into your system, mm-hmm. but who's really solid. And you know who he is and what he is, and you can, you know, bring him in, and there he is in your system.
Yeah, I just don't. There's a weird thing with wide receivers, specifically that position, that it's the thing that like everybody latches onto.
Yeah,
need a receiver. Receiver's available. Gotta go get him. Oh, you need more good receivers. Like, yeah, no doubt. Having five excellent wide receivers would be awesome, but it doesn't do it. Like the, it's not. It's not their top priority, I don't think.
No,
at least it shouldn't be.
It's not going to change their trajectory either, I don't think.
No, would Jacoby Myers make the wide receiving core better? Like, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't solve your problems defensively. That doesn't solve your problems with Brock Purdy being unable to throw from a clean pocket.
Yeah.
Like, none of that, I don't think it matters that much. So they need to get active in the trade market, unless they're looking at this year and going, hey, you know what? The cupboard's very bare. And we talked about this before the year. Their top end talent was awesome, but when Matt Barrows said that this is the most talented team he'd ever covered, I fully disagreed for kind of the reason we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not deep enough.
Yeah.
And if it wouldn't shock me if their front office looks and goes, "All right, 3-4 this year. There's not a trade out there really that's going to push us over the top to make us a Super Bowl team. So we're just going to kind of stamp out. We're going to let Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowan get this burn. We're going to let Kalia Davis play a ton on the defensive line. We're going to let Sam Okwuonu play a ton on the defensive line and Robert Beal and see how these guys develop. And then go into next offseason with a full slate of draft capital. Say, okay, you're going to try and restock the cupboard in next year's draft instead of trying to push all in for a Super Bowl this year." It wouldn't surprise me at all.
No.
Like last year was the chance. Last year was the all-in, trading for Randy Gregory, trading for Chase Young, had everything kind of go their way from a health perspective, had everything go their way from the getting the number one seed perspective, where you have the Cardinals going into Philly and winning that game. Everything went their way. They got to face the worst version of the Chiefs that the Chiefs have been since 2017,
mm-hmm.
and he still lost. It would not shock me at all if that's how they're looking at their roster for next year and 2026 and 2027 and saying, all right, Brock Purdy, Brandon Ayuk, who else is here in 27?
Yeah, I think the one other aspect that I think they know they have a better handle on than we do is if they do chase a wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
it could show you how long they believe that Ayuk is going to be out. And that would be the one problem that they might have. Because if you're looking at this, like if you can get a wide receiver right now that can help you, but also is under contract next year and maybe the year after, and you know that it could signal that they believe Ayuk is going to miss a good portion, if not all of next season as well, because it was like a catastrophic knee injury that they don't even know the extent of yet.
Yeah, we still don't know all the details on that. We know it's an ACL and an MCL, but then Ian Rappaport said there might be more damage. Like, ugh.
Yeah, they're worried.
It's not great.
Yeah.
It's not great. On the other hand, you have a Las Vegas Raiders team that traded Devontae Adams, and then immediately the rumor mill is ablaze that they're going to trade Max Crosby. And I don't think they need to do all that.
I would trade
that feels,
some
that
of...
feels desperate.
Yeah, I agree with you. I would trade some of the other peripheral guys if there's someone else. Again, a Jacoby Myers isn't a young player. Like if somebody's...
He's 27? Got 2 years left, I think.
Knocking on the door and saying, hey, you know, what can we give you for this player or that player? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's fine. But like, don't trade your core. Even, Wilkins is hurt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a guy who 29, going on 30, mm-hmm. where you'll be like, okay, maybe I should go cash in.
Mm-hmm.
And even for a team like the Niners, if they wanted to trade a player like that, you'd be like, all right, and like, how can we get in on this?
Sure.
Probably not going to be able to, but how can you? But outside of that, like, I just don't know that they have a lot of talent. They need more picks for sure.
Yeah. But they also have to walk that line between... okay, is this a player who could potentially, again, talking about 3-4 years down the road, is this a player who's going to be part of the program in 3 years? Or is this a player like Jacoby Myers? Maybe the Raiders love Jacoby Myers and want to re-sign him and make him a foundational piece of their team well into his 30s, because he's 27 right now.
Okay.
Maybe that's it. And if that's the case, then yeah, don't move him. But if they're looking at Jacoby Myers and going, yeah, we're not re-signing this guy, then for sure, go get a 5th round or a 6th round pick for him and call it good. Give any player an opportunity who you're not sure if they're part of your future, give them an opportunity to go play this year. Because that's what this is about the rest of the way. You want to win games, no doubt. That's going to be the goal week in and week out.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be looking at this season and you have to be trying to figure out who on this roster is good and who isn't. And maybe that means giving some guys opportunities that you thought, you know what, probably not. But you got to let them go play. You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
So I don't agree with the idea that the Raiders are having a fire sale because they traded Davante Adams. Davante Adams was a player who clearly wasn't going to be part of the team in 3 years or even next year. He was clearly a player who had quit, who didn't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
For the Raiders. So get him out of there.
Yeah,
that's good business.
Yeah,
good work.
I totally agree. Yeah, Jacoby Myers is on a 3-year, $33 million contract that he signed in March of 2023.
This year and next year left.
Yeah, so $11 million in both seasons.
How much guaranteed next year? I think it's none, right?
That it's possible, but I don't have it pulled up.
Okay. All right. That's the NFL trade deadline, November 5th.
Oh, it's almost here.
It is right around the corner. That's what's tough for the 49ers specifically, and we'll talk Kings here in a second, but that's what's tough for the 49ers specifically is you'd love to see, okay, what does the offense look like with Debo and Kittle and Jennings and Pearsall and Cowing and Christian McCaffrey? But you're not going to get that opportunity because you play this week, and then you have a bye, and the trade deadline is Tuesday after the bye week.
Oof.
I'm sorry. Yeah, November 5th. Yes.
Okay.
Important day. The Tuesday after the bye week is when the trade deadline is. So the Niners aren't going to get a chance to do all that.
Hmm.
Which is kind of why I think like if they can get a player they think fits on the defensive line for a late round pick, okay, great, or a linebacker or whatever. But I don't know. I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl this year, so I wouldn't do too much with next year's draft capital.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're the Insiders. We hang out every day from 10 a.m. to noon right here on this radio station, ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader, this radio station, and of course, this YouTube channel. Salute to everybody in the chatty house and everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch. We appreciate y'all so very much. An interesting thing happened with the Kings starting lineup. And I know that I kind of tried to make the case for this at one point, but it was more of a, I could see this being a thing, but not something I necessarily agreed with.
Mm-hmm.
But if Kevin Herter's good to go tomorrow, he's going to play and start?
Yeah. So
what? Did we miss something? I miss something?
I think we did.
What?
I went down to practice yesterday. I left right after. I made it down in time for practice. They let us in. We sat there and, you know, Trey Lyles is on the court, which is a good thing. And we're surprised by that. But Kevin Herter's on the court. And, you know, we haven't seen Kevin Herter. The Kings had scrimmaged, 5-on-5 scrimmage, and Kevin Herter's wearing a starter's, uniform.
Penny.
Exactly. And Keon Ellis is wearing a gray, second team penny. And so when Mike Brown came over to talk to us, that was the first question. I asked him straight up, you know, what's the deal at the shooting guard position? And, you know, what's going on with Kevin? Is he going to play? And Mike was like, if he's going to play on Thursday and there's a good chance that he will, then yeah, he's going to start. And I think all of us just kind of your jaw dropped a little bit. Wow, that escalated quickly. And look, I get it to a certain degree. I have made this case multiple times. I would start Keon Ellis. But
I think I would too.
But I understand the flip side where you won 48 games with Kevin Huerter as your starting shooting guard. He was your third leading scorer 2 years ago. Last season, he had a horrible season. Like, things went wrong from the jump with him. And then the injury happened. And I think it is, like, it's something that we've heard in football for so often, that you don't lose your starting job when you get hurt, right? And so I get that a little bit. And I also understand that their starting lineup has two players who don't shoot threes. One that's not very good at shooting threes, and one who just kind of reluctantly takes
DeMar DeRozan does not shoot a lot of threes.
Well, he doesn't shoot a lot of threes, and he also doesn't hit a high clip of threes when he does. He's like a career 32% shooter or something. And Domantas Sabonis is a quality three-point shooter, but he does not want to shoot them. You can feel it in his, like, you can see it, like, he doesn't want to shoot the three.
Not comfortable doing so.
No, so having a guy like Kevin Huerter who has a, we always talk about this, a gravitational pull, it does make sense. But on the other side, I don't know what your defense is going to look like. I don't think it's going to be any worse than the pairing of Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes last year. But I think there has to be some concern that your defense is not going to be very good. And like, I don't know how you fix that. Like, we talked about, I personally think, like, and sort of like the buzz that I'm hearing, there's a good chance that Keegan Murray is going to defend Anthony Edwards on opening night.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It does make sense. But then who defends Julius Randle? I'm not sure. I guess, you know, who defends?
Domas?
Well, but then who defends Gobert?
Anyone.
A 6 foot six guy?
Yeah.
Which, a 6 foot six or a six
foot
seven guy?
Yeah, run your offense to Rudy Gobert. That's fine. Go ahead.
You choose which one is gonna start. And
no, I love that idea, actually. Hell yeah.
Okay. No, I get it. But, like, I think, you know, again, Kevin Huerter, I think, can defend Jaden McDaniels. I think that's fine, right? And
who can?
Kevin Huerter. Like, I think McDaniels isn't going to light up Kevin. He might, but I don't think he's going to light up Kevin Huerter. He's not an off the dribble guy. But then that leaves...
He might be against Kevin Huerter.
but that leaves Julius Randle on DeMar DeRozan. And, like, and we don't know if Trey Lyles is going to play. That's the other part of this. We don't know if Trey Lyles is going to play. But there is a shot that Trey Lyles plays. And he's getting... He's very close to a return, whether it's going to be Thursday or it'll be Saturday or it'll be Monday, whatever it is. Trey Lyles is, like, on the cusp of returning. He did play a lot yesterday. He was a full participant in practice yesterday. Today's the day where you're going to see, okay, Trey, how do you feel?
Yeah.
And if you don't feel good, then there's a good chance he won't play tomorrow. If he feels perfectly fine today, maybe a little bit sore just from running up and down the court, there's a good chance he's playing tomorrow. And so all of a sudden you go from spending the entire preseason and all of training camp without two of your top, I don't know, eight players to all of a sudden they could just fall from the sky in the final 3 days before you start the NBA season and they're part of your rotation. And now this thing could look a little clunky because they haven't played with anybody outside of the guys that there were here before, but they haven't played with a Jordan McLaughlin. They haven't played with DeMar DeRozan.
Sure.
And they're going to have to figure it out.
Do you think that this is born out of their three-point shooting being so bad in the preseason?
I think a little bit of it is that, but I also, I think that for Kevin Huerter to lose his starting job, you have to lose your starting job because the player who's taking that position from you is better.
Yeah,
like, we talk about fit, and we talk about, like, hey, I think, you know, defensively,
I think
he's
better. A way better fit.
We think he's a way better fit, but is he a better player? And to be honest, Keon didn't separate himself at all during the preseason. And, like, you don't want to put so much stock into preseason, but at the same time, if he would have gone out and just openly won the job, and we would have all felt, like, super comfortable, but Keon wasn't great defensively. He fouled out of a game. He, like, got in foul trouble in multiple games. He didn't look like the defensive stopper. He was taking sort of too long to get into the player he was last year. And look at the end of the season. The Kings didn't... It's not fair because Malik Monk was gone as well. But Keon stepped in the final week and half of the season or whatever, and they finished like 4-7 or whatever. That wasn't good enough. So it's not like he went out and like,
that's true,
like planted a flag on the moon and said, I am the starter. That didn't really happen. Sure, your defensive metrics improved greatly with Keon Ellis. And team defense improved greatly. But now he's part of your rotation. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully that does carry over. I think it was just a little surprising to see Mike go, oh, he's healthy? Oh, okay, he's playing.
Can you dispel me of this concern?
Okay.
Is there any chance that this wasn't Mike Brown's choice / decision?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Because that's
just
something.
Sure.
Yeah, because there is always that concern.
Yeah.
But
because I know there's that like kind of that
franchise decision.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's how I usually typically call it. Like, there is a bigger thing that Mike has to deal with, and that's all the other voices mm-hmm. that are part of this.
Yeah.
I don't believe this was a franchise decision.
I
believe
this is Mike Brown saying Kevin Herter is our best option.
Yeah.
Right now.
I think in a franchise decision, you probably would have given Keon Ellis like 3 or 4 games here to get you off on the right foot mm-hmm. and then put Kevin in. And built up Kevin and get his minutes up and then have him take over that way. Mm-hmm. This feels like, okay, if my starting shooting guard is healthy, he's my starter again, which is, it's intriguing to me because I didn't think it would go this way, but Mike was kind of coy with it the entire preseason anyways.
Well, and he was pretty staunch last year before Kevin Herter got hurt that like, nope, not making any changes in starting lineup.
Yeah.
Even as they were, whatever they got started out, like 9-0 with Keon as a starter, even with that, he was pretty staunch in that Kevin Herter wasn't coming out of the starting lineup. So
yeah, and I mean, know. Everyone knows that the front office ownership, they want offense. They do.
Yes, right.
They want offense. Uh-huh. We hear it every single time Monty talks, he wants offense. Mm-hmm. Kevin Herter is a better offensive player than Keon Ellis. It's not even remotely close. As much as Keon is better on the right. defensive end than Kevin, mm-hmm. Kevin is better on the offensive end, and that's just the facts.
Yeah.
Don't look at just pure shooting percentage or anything else. The way that Keon plays is, you know, and Kevin plays, they're very different styles, yeah. But Kevin's a good offensive player.
Interested to see how this all shakes out. Maybe we'll ask Mark Jones, television voice of the Kings and television voice of, you turn on ESPN, you're probably going to hear Mark Jones. He's going to join us next. We'll preview the Kings season, and we'll get more into, you talked about Trey Lyles, we'll dive into that some. Some more Mike Brown from practice yesterday. We got mad props. We got NBA games tonight to go over. Plenty to get to in the second hour. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.